I like to think of it sometimes more as a circle. And when I talk about the Bodhisattva path, one of the things I do very often is simply step to the blackboard and start drawing circles, with samsara as the beginning of the circle, nirvana somewhere along the circle, perhaps at the top of the circle, and then the circle connecting to itself, bringing you back into samsara after you've tasted some quality of understanding that might lead you to nirvana. The Bodhisattva is constantly coming back into this world to help others. Now, the Bodhisattva ideal is contrasted to the ideal of earlier Buddhism by distinguishing itself from what's called the Arhant ideal. The Arhant was a person in the earlier community who sought nirvana in this life for him or herself. So an Arhant is someone who follows the one-way traffic to nirvana and doesn't come back into samsara like the Bodhisattva. So the Mahayana teaches a Bodhisattva ideal as opposed to an Arhant ideal. Some people say that a Bodhisattva renounces nirvana in order to lead all other beings to nirvana. If you follow this model, you can sometimes imagine a Bodhisattva as returning back into the world, becoming involved with people, teaching them about compassion, helping them understand reality in a way that's consistent with traditional Buddhist teaching. And then finally, when everyone is ready for nirvana, it's like holding hands and stepping off a cliff together. The Bodhisattva doesn't become a Buddha until everybody is ready to become a Buddha with him or with her. The truth is that this is not strictly accurate because bodhisattvas can become Buddhas. They simply aspire to become a Buddha for the sake of all other beings. And when they can become a Buddha in a way that really, in some way, perfectly serves the needs of other people, then that bodhisattva will become a Buddha. So the Mahayana world is full of Buddhas as well as bodhisattvas, people who have pursued the bodhisattva path and pursued it to perfection. Now, bodhisattvas described in Mahayana literature are often human beings just like ourselves. It's a very human ideal, as the ideal of Buddhist practice was in the earlier tradition. I'd like to give you a couple of examples of Mahayana descriptions of bodhisattvas so you can get a sense of the kind of person who was described as a bodhisattva in this classical literature. One of the most important, and one of my favorite, I'd have to say, in the early literature of the Mahayana is a bodhisattva known as Vimalakirti. He was a wise layperson who pretended that he was ill in order to teach a lesson to the Buddha's monastic disciples. Let me read you just a short account of Vimalakirti from the beginning of the Mahayana Sutra that presents his teaching. And in the city there lived an elder named Vimalakirti, who dwelt there as a skillful means for the salvation of other beings. For he used his measureless wealth to convert the poor, and his own pure virtue to convert those who broke the precepts. He controlled himself with patience to convert the scornful, and strove with diligence to convert the lazy. He used his calm meditation to convert the confused, and his firm wisdom to convert the ignorant. He wore the white robes of a layman, but he observed the pure conduct of a recluse. He lived a household life, but he wasn't attached to the world. He had a wife and children, but always practiced the religious life. And he kept a household, but always delighted in solitude. He wore jewels and ornaments, but adorned his body with the signs of greatness. He ate and he drank, but delighted in the taste of meditation. He went to the gambling halls, but he worked for the salvation of men. He took on the ways of the heretics, but never strayed from the true faith. And he knew all the worldly texts, but he always delighted in the teaching of the Buddha.